It's time for questions. We already have one on the being projected on the board. It says, please, Bro Eberi, explain this. Photography works with negatives. Currencies work with counterfeits. Gender works with opposites. So if you say that little children are initiated into darkness and spiritism, what is the practical equivalent of how to initiate God's own into spiritual realities and operations? A question from last night's session.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The world that we see with the eyes, praise the Lord, is basically a shadow. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? This visible world is a shadow of the real world. Amen. We see that in Romans chapter 1, where the Bible tells us that the invisible things of God is 1:20, is it 21 or 22? Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says that the invisible things of Him can be seen and understood from the things that are visible. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we there? Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that sets before us a spiritual principle. Amen. It is on the basis of this that we can teach types and what now? Shadows. The Bible also tells us that the tabernacle is a pattern. Praise the name of the Lord, of the true tabernacle. Are we understanding that when we teach the tabernacle, we're not just imagining something. We are actually working using a drawing. You know, like somebody who wants to build a house, they give you a plan of the house. Do you understand? Now, the plan contains the outline and the sketch of the real building. Praise the name of the Lord. These days, you have 3D images that gives you even a clearer picture of what the house looks like now. Before, it was just a drawing, you know, like that. Now, when you had those drawings, only an engineer probably could look at it and see the house. Do you understand? If you, a normal person, looks at it, you just see drawings, you know, lines. Say, what is this? Somebody says, that's the house. Praise the name of the Lord. So also, this gives us an outline. So, the scripture tells us in Peter, 2 Peter, I think chapter 3, that the things that appear, we are made out of things that do not, what now, appear. Are we together? This is the principle of negatives. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? The things that are seen come out of things that are what? Unseen. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorry. And 2 Peter 3. So these are basic principles. So with looking at everything in creation, bears the stamp, the signature of the Creator. Praise the name of the Lord. It is on the same principle that we can look at man, this body, and we can understand the mystic, spiritual, what now, body of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is the principle of negatives. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, also, things that are created, they carry a blueprint. We call it DNA. Are you understanding that? Hello, are you with me? It's a mark, a genetic mark. It is the code through which life, I'm not a medical doctor, praise the name of the Lord, but they call the blueprint the code of life. So every created thing has a design inside. The design of my life is in my DNA. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, looking at somebody's DNA, you can tell if the person is likely to develop cancer or diabetes. Do you understand that? In the DNA. And scientists are working towards being able to stop the sickness before it actually what occurs. Now, these are natural things. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when we talk about sons of God, we are also talking about beings, new creations. Do you understand the point? Carrying God's DNA. Praise the name of the Lord. God's nature written in our person. Somewhere it says that we are God's epistles. Written where? In where? Our hearts. Do you understand that? Isn't that what the Bible says? That I will write my nature, my law. Where? In their hearts. Now, when you put that law there, what is the plan? The plan is that you begin to reproduce it, isn't it? In the words you speak. As you speak words, as you live life, you are creating something. You are recreating and creating and recreating. That's what God meant when he said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Praise the name of the Lord. So when you touch something with that creative power, that thing bears the mark and begins to express, you understand, that thing that you imparted what now to it. Are you understanding me? When we gather here, we're not coming here to talk Bible. Are we together? This Bible is letter. English language. Do you understand the point? But it becomes a negative from which we can translate it into what now? Walking, talking, relating. Are you with me? It translates into something I do. Something I am. The way I relate to my brother. The way I relate to my wife. The way I relate to my children. The way I relate to my neighbors. This Bible becomes a living thing. That way, I can infect this generation. Do you understand the point? With this nature. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me explain something. You know, many years ago, there was a controversy. I don't know if you watched it. Somebody came to a particular church, a lady. He said, I'm a witch for Jesus. Did you hear that before? And the man of God just... How many people watched that video? You mean you didn't see it? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, probably the woman had mental problems. But now, let me talk. And I'm going to talk about witchcraft now from the other side of the picture. Now, are you aware that the devil, everything he does, he borrows it from the scriptures? Do you understand that? You people are not sounding like you're following me. Now, the devil cannot create anything. Do you understand the point? Every principle on which he works, for anything to work spiritually, it must function on a spiritual principle. Are you understanding that? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I need to know that you're with me. It's very important. So the devil borrows every principle. For it to work, you must borrow it from God. When he borrows it, he now does what now? He twists it. He distorts it. He perverts it to work in what now? A negative way. But it is the same word, principle. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Now, let me give you one illustration. Social media. Internet. You understand? Phone. Television. Now, all that these things do is to cast images into your soul. They know the law that says whatever is planted into the soul, that is what the soul is going to what now? Reproduce. Do you understand that? Now, what I'm saying that if you understand that, you will also be careful. This social media, do you understand? It's one of the deadliest things the enemy has produced. Because of that, young people, this generation, you are a high-risk generation. At one click, you can get onto a pornographic website in 2 seconds. Am I right? In exactly 2 seconds, you are seeing images that may haunt you for 10 years. Or more. I know that. You are getting into something. You know, that thing has so much power that when it gets into your mind, it becomes a virus. It begins to multiply itself on one principle, Bible principle, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Are you following what I'm saying? Once it gets into your mind, it becomes an infection. And it moves from that, your mind, to a place called your will. Are you understanding me? It takes over the will. You say, okay, I will not do it again. Then suddenly an energy comes into your mind. I say, do it. Do it. Do it. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But your hand is going there, going there, going there, going there. Bam! And you say, I couldn't help it. Now, something spiritual is happening right inside your mind. There is an energy that is already entered. Once it enters, it begins to spread. Praise the name of the Lord. Of course, from that image, you enter it. The next thing is masturbation. Now, that is a defilement both of body and of what now? Of mind. From there, what next? Guilt, isn't it? Shame. You descend into darkness. But it's working on a law, which is the same law that operates when you hear the word of God. You are also bringing an image into your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I hope you are with me. Okay. Now, in Africa, we understand witchcraft. You understand? Now, I had somebody. You know a situation where a spirit will enter into a house like breeze. Now, I don't know whether it's a spirit now or a man. But he enters the house, he becomes a man. And sleeps with somebody. And then goes out again like that. For real. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So, when we talk about initiating, you know, some people think it's imaginary. It's not imaginary. Now, house helps. I've had several situations where house has come. Just by carrying a baby and feeding the baby. You know, some people think this is a joke. Food. Praise the name of the Lord. It's not just natural. It can be spiritual. And that's why you must pray over your food before you eat it. Are you understanding my point? It's not ceremony. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? It is not what ceremony. When you say, let us bless the food, some people think, it's just, that's the way Christians do when they want to eat. No, sir. We are doing something very, very what now? Spiritual. Because food can be a point of what now? Of contact. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So some people are in just by food. You eat. And then next thing, the first point of call is your dreams. You know, because dreams are actually images through which sometimes you see things happening within your soul. Are you getting my point? You begin to see things you wouldn't know in your conscious realm. But when you sleep, you understand? You see, those images come up. And you see certain things that give certain indications of certain spiritual activities that are taking place right inside your soul. And it's not imaginary. It is very real. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the same way somebody can initiate you. Now, there was this one. I'm also talking about real things, because I know personally. They go to church. They go right inside churches, real Pentecostal churches, and touch people. When I say touch, I'm not joking. You understand? Oh, this, your bangle is very fine. You know, sometimes you are in the market and you're going and people are touching you. Come and buy. Come and buy. Has it happened to you before? Now, let me tell you, consecration is not an option. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you now? Consecration is not what now? An option. You don't have a choice. You live in a spiritually, you know, operative world. Hey, please come and buy. Come and buy. Not every touch is innocent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, some people have even bought things they didn't want to buy because somebody touched them. People have found this one. She said, when we do that same night, when they are having their meetings, these people will appear. And she was laughing. She said, they will be saying, hey, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Because they are confused. They find themselves in an environment. They don't know how they got there. Very real. So when the Bible says that we are to cleanse ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and of the mind, you are actually trying to shut yourself so that these things cannot have what now? Access to you. Hello? I'm telling you very real things. Praise the name of the Lord. So these things, in some parents, you know, there are certain parents who are Satanists. So when their children are born, they consciously, deliberately, do you understand the point? Hand them over to a spirit. Now, parents have influence. They have authority. Just like teachers also have influence. They have what now? Authority. Anybody that can minister to you and you open up your mind, your soul, has the ability to inject what now? Spirits. One of the fastest ways that homosexuality is spreading is in the school system. Do you understand? When you have teachers who are homosexuals teaching students, they transfer what now? Spirits. So you grew up feeling different. How did it come? One teacher. Do you understand the point? Transferring what now? Spirits. And they do it consciously. They understand these principles. Are you hearing what I'm saying, brother? You can't leave this camp and remain the same old. You cannot be conscious of this reality and still live a very careless life. That would be suicidal. Do you understand the point? The world you live in is spiritual. You too must be what? Spiritual. Are you understanding me? Good. So, this whole world is about initiation. Every day, your soul, when you say initiate, what is it? It's to bring the soul under the covering and the influence and the dominion of a what now? A spirit. We have learned here that the soul is meant to be ruled by what? a spirit. The only thing is that you will choose this day which spirit you will do what you will serve. You will have that choice. It's just you have an option. Choose one or choose two. But whether you like it or not, you must serve what? A spirit. When you choose the spirit of God, he begins to build what? A city, a fence, what? Around you. Because he's a jealous God. Do you understand the point? He sets boundaries round about you. A strong city. When you choose God, he begins to put gates. Do you understand the point? Secures you so that these other vagabond spirits can't come in. That's what he does. When you choose the other spirit, he makes you a city broken down. Every spirit that comes will just walk in and do what now? And devour. Take something out of you. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very, very important. You must understand it. Not only will you understand it, you must apply it in your what now? Your life. He said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, secures himself, so that the evil one does what now? Toucheth him not. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we understanding this? So everything is spiritual. When you open your phone, you understand the point. What you see, the eye is the most powerful sense of all the five senses. Are you understanding that? The eye is the most powerful. So messages that pass through the eye. There are times when we are casting out devil out of somebody. The spirit comes out through tears. Hello? Tears. That's how it is coming out. The person is just, tears are flowing out, flowing out, flowing out. It comes out through all the organs, the openings in the body, the ears. Spirits go out through the ear, they go out through the mouth. The people can vomit. I've seen people vomit things. Razor blade, safety pin. You understand the point? All kinds of things. I've seen people, there are situations where people, they passed out through the stool. They passed out a rat, live rat. I'm not trying to frighten you. Do you understand? I'm just trying to show you the reality of where we are. Because a lot of us are just taking life, eh? We're just so simple. We're just sometimes unconscious. When we say, ah, you better put a check on your phone. Do you understand the point? Put a check on your phone. Now, in the US, in Nigeria, Satanism has taken a lot of hold. People, there are websites dedicated to Satan. And even they are recruiting people. Recruiting people. Recruiting. When they get you excited and interested, they now tell you steps how you can begin to cast spells, you know, and people, some think it's a joke, they start joking. They don't realize that the devil himself does not joke. And somewhere along the line, they contact a spirit. And you see, these spirits, they just attract you. Then eventually they take over your will. When they get hook of your will, they can wake up a woman and tell you to commit suicide. Do you understand that? And you take a knife and slit your throat like this. Because you gave that will to them. Meaning, when you say suicide, 98% of those who committed suicide got in touch. Some through rock music, some through horror movies that they watched, some through sex sites, some through, you know, all kinds of things. They surrendered their will to what now? A spirit. From that point, when it takes over your will, it compels you. You know that what you're doing is wrong, but you are what? Under compulsion. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are you with me? So initiating simply means to bring the soul under the rule by a covenant. Do you understand? By an agreement, the soul is brought under dominion of a particular what now? Spirit. This spirit begins to have access to you. You know, in marriage, two people have access to each other, isn't it? Are you getting my point? Yes. When I'm entering my wife's room, if she has a room, her room is my room. I don't knock. Do you understand the point? Are we together? If I'm entering my daughter's room, I knock. But if I'm entering my wife's room, do you understand the point? I don't knock. These spirits, once they come under that initiation, they have access to you, into your mind, your emotions, your will, your desire. They run your what now? Your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? Yeah, this is very, very important. When we live our lives, these are the things we must understand. Now, brethren, when we are here, whether you like it or not, this weekend you have been initiated. So it's not a strange thing. Every time you came out here, say, Lord Jesus, I hope you understood what you are doing. Praise the name of the Lord. You are being what now? Initiated. He said, by one spirit are we what now? Baptized. Baptism is an initiation. Do you understand that? Every day you are bringing your mind, your emotions, your will under the rule. It gives that spirit liberty to move in the area of your life. Do you understand the point? The Holy Spirit now has the right and the liberty to do what? Move in your life and carry out his own what now? Agenda. Praise the name of the Lord. So, brethren, that's basically what it is. You can, a child, let me give an illustration. Timothy had a both physical, spiritual heritage. Did you notice that? Timothy's mother was Lois. His grandmother was Eunice. Or was it the other way around? Do you understand the point? They were both Christians. And because of that, Timothy inherited certain spiritual things. Do you understand me? There's certain qualities. There was a man, his name was Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee's father and grandfather were Christians and ministers of the gospel. You see, what it means is that there are certain darkness that my grandfather cleared. I'm not going to suffer from that. By the time it comes to my father, the man also does what now? Clears more. So by the time I come into the picture, I have little to deal with. And it means that I can pick up this thing at a very early age. Some of us have to come out from the bush. That is, you have bush. You start clearing before you even come out to see the road. Some others, the bush has been what? Cleared for them. It's a spiritual heritage. Praise the name of the Lord. Part of what we are doing today is so that our children will... going to deal with them. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Now, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in a practical way, if you have a problem, Snapchat to go. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, do you know what the Bible says? If your right eye... Have you read that scripture before? Is it in your own Bible? You know what scripture I'm quoting? If your right eye will cause you to do what? Sin. What the Bible says? Pluck it. Why? Because it is better for me to enter the kingdom with one eye than to go to that other place with two eyes. Isn't it? The Lord Jesus did not mince words about that. Now, we are in a time when new platforms, and these are a lot of it are platforms for iniquity. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Now, if you know what your problem is, you know, there's a scripture that says, remember from whence you have what? Fallen. And do what? Repent. And do your former works. If you have a problem with your mind, with images, sometimes it is practicable that you stop putting data into your phone for a while. Are you getting my point? In the natural, if a person is addicted to... Yes, I'm coming to that, yes. Now, in the natural, when a person is addicted to drugs or to alcohol, he goes into what you call what? Rehab. How many people have heard of the word rehab here? Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, they put you in an environment where you do not have what? Access to that thing. Now, they know that the natural body, when it stays for a while without that thing, the body will rebel. Do you understand the point? The body will revolt. You call that what now? Withdrawal syndromes. Why? Because the body has been for a long time dependent on that thing. But it can go through some stress. But after a while, it weans itself off that thing. Are we together? Now, the problem now goes to the mind. You follow the point. The body is no longer dependent on it. But the mind is what? Still dependent. You have to now address. That's why a lot of times they have relapses. Because they've not addressed the issue of what now? The mind. The mind still believes that it is still dependent on that thing. Praise the name of the Lord. And many have been destroyed by it. How many of you know Whitney Houston? What happened to her? And do you know about the daughter? What happened to her? Do you think that was ordinary? No, it was not. Praise the name of the Lord. And lives have been destroyed by that. So you decide. There are certain platforms you must delete from your program. Even you, if you don't have a problem, once in a while, fast. When you fast, part of what you do is to disconnect your, you know, certain social media from your system. Get it off. It is a bondage. So once in a while, you take it out. And for you, if you have a major issue with it, get it off and spend some time without it. You will not die. Praise the name. Are we together, brethren? Yes. The availability of this thing, the nearness of it, is already one step into it. It's a part of fasting. You deny your soul. Do you understand that thing? You chasten your soul and break the power. Paul said, I will not be brought under the what now? Power. There is a power behind it. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a power behind it, brethren. And if there's something God would do with us this weekend, it is to, you must do an inventory of your life. You must do an inventory, brother. You must do an inventory, sister. Praise the name of the Lord and begin to prepare for greatness. Every man who aspires for greatness, there are sacrifices that he must make. Praise the name of the Lord. If you know that this is my problem, then from today, take it off. Hallelujah. So that you can have some time. Spend time with the word of God and begin to put the right images inside your mind. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we have said here is that children can be initiated negatively. They can also be initiated what? Positive. When we pray for children, when they are born, the children, parents bring them for dedication. You think that's ceremony? We don't do ceremonies. Any meaningless ritual has no place here. Everything we do is an impartation of what? Of spirits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, this is not church in the sense of church. We are spiritual people. We live in a spiritual world. We understand the operations of the spirits of darkness. But we also understand the operations of the kingdom of what now? Of light. It says that God has delivered us this weekend from the dominion of what? Darkness. And translated us into the kingdom of his son. In whom you have redemption. Through what now? His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. So you must understand what has happened this weekend. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, I hope I'm clear. Amen. So we are initiating. They are also what? Initiating. So it now depends on which juju is what? Is stronger. Hallelujah. Do you know which juju is stronger? He said, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Praise the name of the Lord. I think that's enough. Amen.
Praise God. There's a question here. Say, please, I wish to know the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Pick it up.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The question is, what is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Okay? Now, the difference is a bad translation. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Most of the ancient and the older translations use the word Holy Ghost. Do you understand? And it was maybe the term that was used in the olden times to express the word spirit. But the ghost actually is the soul, you understand, of a departed person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hello, are you there? Okay. So it doesn't properly express the spirit of God. Okay? Now, a spirit is a being that is not material. Okay? A ghost is a spirit. But not every spirit is a ghost. Praise the name of the Lord. So you notice that much more modern translations use the word Holy, what now? Spirit. Uh-huh. But then, it shouldn't be very dogmatic. Praise the name of the Lord. If somebody makes that expression, he may not know better. It's not something you begin to quarrel or fight over. But for proper, you know, language, the term is Holy Word Spirit. God is not a ghost. God is what? Is spirit. Do you understand that? The Spirit of God is not a ghost. It is a spirit. Praise the name of the Lord.
The other way is that looking at that's taking the, you know, because looking at the word itself, ghost from the Greek means to expire. That means to breathe out. That is what the original thought means. Means to breathe out. And so when someone has given up the ghost, what does it mean? His soul has departed. Do you understand? In other words, it's been expired. So when they use it, it means that when God breathed, it means that it's use of, in the sense of breath, of breathing. You understand? So like he said, it's not a very good way to describe the Spirit of God. Because what they're trying to play on is the fact of the breath of God or something like that. But so the right word to use is spirit. You understand? The right word to use is spirit. But like you said, some of the older translations have used that. You know, yes.
I think the word ghost is trying to describe, like you said, a spirit that has left a body. So a good way to understand it is that a ghost is a spirit that usually needs a body. So when, needs a body to express itself. When he says the unclean spirit is looking for a house, he's talking about a ghost. And that's why when Satan entered into Judas, it was a problem. Because a spirit doesn't have a body. It was not created to function with a body. But a ghost was created to function with the body. Yes, man.
So what we'll try to do, we'll try to allow you answer the questions. I think that's what people wanted. Say yes now. That's what people wanted. It's not the talk show. You want to answer the question. So he has answered. Any other contribution? The man has traveled, though. You have something to say. Okay.
Just to, as Robert was saying, he's the one that first mentioned the whole difference that I was hearing. He tried not to use the word Holy Ghost to say Holy Spirit. And I think it's a good practice. And we have to all put it into practice in our whole life. Because most of the time when we want to pray, we are used to using this word Holy Ghost sometimes. We have to work on it too. Because to put an image to it, you see, we used to watch, anyway, Nigerian films. And Nigerian films, you can see if someone died, you have his ghost wandering around and he will come and show himself to somebody and this thing. So I think that picture makes it really bad to say Holy Ghost and this thing. And I thank God that in French at least we don't have that translation, because ghost is phantom, which is really bad. So we should try and correct it now. Phantom. So phantom, we don't have. In the Bible, in French Bible, we have always Saint-Esprit. So it makes it very easy to say Esprit and Spirit every time. So we should just put it into our own everyday prayer and our way to talk. Because this word of lifestyle is also the way we talk. So what you say, you need to say the right thing. Not say Holy Ghost, but say the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Okay, let's take the one here. See, are divine encounters due to the sovereignty of God on the individual's personal hunger? Yeah. Yes, you want to answer? You have something to say? Yes, no problem. Give her the mic.
Praise the Lord. I know that's a combination of both. Because when God wants, like, God is God despite who we are as individuals. So that is always there. But for us to key into the sovereignty of God and to have that overcoming in our lives in any area that we wanted to be in, we have to make a commitment. We have to make a response. Let me bring it to something as simple as an altar call. God is in that meeting. God is in the meeting, and then he has brought a word, but then there's an altar call to respond. Some people might say, well, God is here. I'm sitting on my seat. I'm still keen into the prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that God wouldn't meet you on your seat, but there's also a level of your overcoming that you would achieve if you respond to the call. So I think it's a combination of both. God is God, but we also have to show that we are hungry for him so that he can really, really come into us in the fullness of that coming. Praise the Lord.
Scripture says, draw near to God. What will he do? So that's what she has said. So you are here. There's an altar call. When you go out, it is a step in response. And then God himself too will respond to you. Amen. Let me share an experience yesterday. When Brother Bere finished ministering, I was at the back. I was busy. I had to make some phone calls and all that. When he finished, he went to the back and left the hall. Something said, Brother has gone. Brother has gone. Let me also go to the room and go. But I said, I am here on my own, so I'm not going. So I stayed back. And then when Bumar started praying, he said, everybody stand up. I stood up, pray. I began to pray. I am telling you, God responded to me yesterday. You understand? If I had followed him, I said, he has gone, so let me go. I could have gone. But I'm sure that lorry load of blessing that came to meet me, you would have landed on the empty floor there. I would have seen me. Amen. So it looks simple, but it taught me a great principle. You know? So when you are here, at the response, don't follow your prince sitting down. You don't know why he's sitting down. You have your problem. Sometimes we are doing a big boy after all. There's no big boy. When it's time for altar call, you or bigger, you step out and respond to God. And God will answer you and meet you at the point of your need. That's part of the thing. The other point is the hunger, individual's personal hunger. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and what? Thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember the word of in Esther chapter 1, the king's feast, is it not? It said the law is that none did compare. They give you what you want. If you have a lorry load of hunger, it will be filled. You have just a little cup, you'll get. So whatever you want, God meets you at your level. You know? So and it also help you with your friends. There are friends who want to just be Christian. That's all they want. They don't want anything extra. If they become those that influence you, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. So you have to choose your friend. Get a man who wants the whole Port Harcourt as his vessel. Say, God, he's always crying, God, feel me, feel me. So even when you're tired, you look at him, you get up and start running. But if you go and bring those around you, they just want, you know, just say, good, good, good. Their vessel is so shallow. And you're following them. So you end up. So you must choose your friends, your husbands, your wives, your companions, all those things. Even those who minister to you. It all comes at the same level of this personal hunger. And you can also increase the hunger in your life. Amen. As you come to the word, you eat the word of God, it becomes sweeter. Initially, it may not be sweet, but as you are coming to it, gradually, you begin to expand your capacity. You know, you begin to like the word of God. You begin to get used to it, and you are drawn to it. But if you are far away from it, you don't know how impactful it is in your life. Amen. So draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's the principle that we can use in terms of this.
Okay. What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? And how can we do that?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a scripture that says, and that talks about, I think it's Isaiah, that God wants people that tremble at His word. Those that fear, those that tremble at His word. Now what that means is, when God says something, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God has said it. Not like you're afraid of God, like God will kill you or destroy you or something. But because God has said it, you take it serious. First of all, that is the fear and that is the trembling. Because God has said, now we're talking about phones, social media, Instagram, Twitter, and all of that. Sorry. Now, because God is telling us that we should reduce the amount of time we spend on our phones, we should fear and tremble. That is the fear and trembling we're talking about. Now, you now make a step. You respond. You make efforts. Do you understand? We'll make efforts. Maybe if you used to spend 5 hours or immediately you wake up, you start pressing your phone. Because of the fear and trembling, you say, God said this thing. You will now be a little more, you will be more sober. You will be afraid. Instead of pressing your phone, you will now look for your Bible instead. When you are in church and you feel like pressing your phone, the fear and trembling, you will say, let me reduce this thing. You will now take notes instead. So I think these are the practical steps that we can take in response to being like afraid, in quotes, like reverence and respect, because God has said this. You take steps. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. I also want to say, like, because, like, by virtue of who we are as human beings, there is already a lot of darkness inside of us, right? And, like, what our end goal is the salvation of our soul. So we are trying to fill our souls with light. Now, I feel like to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling means you are making a conscious effort to get as much light as possible into your heart. It's not just like on my leisure time or like when I'm free or whatever I can do. It's not just a secondary thing in my mind, but it's like the prominent thing. You're making deliberate effort. When I wake up, it's like what I can't remember. We were talking about it yesterday, and someone said when the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, it means that we go out of our way to do the things that are evil because we get pleasure from it. But now on the other side, it's like you're going to go out of your way not just to say, let me read my Bible, but you're going to assault your mind
first of all, with the word of God. You're going to go out of your way to make sure that you work out your salvation. You're going to go out of your way to do whatever is possible. Now, all these things we're talking about, I don't know, Snapchat, we're talking about Instagram. And God came to me and God rebuked me and told me that this thing, it does not... Like, if I'm being honest with myself, when I open my Snapchat, I'm not going there. And there's nobody there that is going to bring me to a place of fullness of God in my life. And for that reason, because of the fear, and I know what my humanity is capable of doing to me, the fullness of darkness that is possible of being manifested in my life, then I'm going to make the conscious effort to first of all get rid of that thing and then replace it with something that is going to bring me to that fullness of salvation of Christ. So it's not just like, okay, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but you have to make a desperate, deliberate effort to actually see what are the things I can do that are going to bring me to that place. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This word, we need to know where the word is coming from. It's coming from Philippians 2. There is a reason why this word was given. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and tremble." You know, not that because of we are in camp meeting, you are trying to do the things of God. But God is telling us that when your father is not there, when your brother is not there, when no fellowship brother is not there, what are you doing? Praise God. It's what you're doing at that moment will show whether you have the fear of God or not. So God is trying to tell us, when nobody is there, you also show the word God. You also read the Bible. You also have fellowship. Not that when we are here, you want to come and sing song. You want to come and clap. But God is telling you in the secret, also do it. Praise God.
Praise God. This is just... You know, somebody sent something in respect of the first question. He said another way of initiating a child is, for example, if the child does something bad, don't pet him. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So if children behave in a certain manner and there's no one to tell them sorry, they will learn from what they did. Amen. This is somebody's contribution. Okay, so let's read the one on the board. Say, please explain. I don't understand the book of Revelation 12 verse 2 of the woman being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Afterward, brought forth a man-child. Do we read? I think we should read that scripture so that it will be clear or clearer. Revelation chapter 12. Is it the full? Revelation chapter 12 verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Okay, the first question. Thought there isn't birth in heaven. Is heaven not a place of peace and joy, and not place of pain? So let's start with number one. You want to answer? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the first question just answered the whole question, because from what we've heard,
we were say, the whole thing that TJK was saying all the time is that when they talk of heaven, they talk of our soul. So if we get that, we can just know that this heaven they are mentioning here is not the heaven like somewhere else in the, on the planet or anywhere. It's in our heart. Because when we read further, they mention the dragon, which is in heaven. And we already, they all thought of, everything was said about this chapter. And it was said that the dragon is no longer in the heaven where God dwells, like God dwelling place. But he dwells, he is now trying to get into our own heaven, which is supposed to be also God's dwelling place. So the heaven that is mentioned here is not heaven, like, I don't know how to say it now. It's our heart, it's our soul.
Says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. The main aim of us being Christians is that Christ may be bettered in us, and then we will come forth in the image and the likeness of God. So when you begin the race, the end point is that Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. So, this travailing, it's you, it's me. So, we are the ones travailing that Christ may come forth in us. So, the son that is being birthed is Christ being formed in your soul. The nature of God, the nature of Christ, coming forth within your soul. That is the son. That is the man child that is coming forth. And when every one of us, we all have Jesus Christ, the nature of Christ in us, and we come together. We come together to form that man child company. And he said, who is the male child that was delivered? We have said that is Christ. Does the child stay in heaven or here on earth? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So heaven is coming into my soul, into your soul. Is it Mary that brought forth the child? It's you and I. Did the devil go back again to heaven after he was killed? That what? The mic, okay. The devil is in your soul and in my soul. And there is a need for the devil in your soul and in my soul to be cast out. The devil is being cast out of heaven. Like the brother was saying, that when you read down that scripture, he said that the dragon, the serpent, was cast out of heaven. So it is your responsibility and my responsibility to make sure that the devils in our souls are cast out. Praise God.
Well, the other way to look at it is everything you see in the natural is in the spirit. So the Bible says it is first natural, then spirit. So you have, in the natural, you have seed. It's from that seed that you see all the trees. Everybody in this room was once a seed, is it not? From the seed, you grew. Also in the spirit, there is also seed. And from that seed, you come forth spiritual reality. Okay, Genesis said everything was created by the word of God. That word of God is a seed. So when you talk about birth, natural, spiritual, it begins with a seed. Somebody was sleeping at night. He had a seed. You know what the seed is? An idea. Somebody, I can communicate with my friend apart from email. And he developed WhatsApp. It was an idea. It was a seed. Now it's a reality. Electricity. There was a time when there was no electricity. Somebody received an idea. It became a reality. You know Isaac Newton, they say he was sitting down, and what fell on his head? What fell on the head of Isaac Newton? Apple fell on the, when he was sitting under the apple tree. He said, why should this apple leave the tree and fell? What came out of it? The law of gravity. Do you understand? So that is the principle. Seed, an idea. It can be a word, naturally. It's also something in the spirit that brings forth in the seed. So you have a woman naturally, a physical woman, but in the spirit, a woman speaks of a church. In the spirit, also a woman speaks of the soul. So the church, as a church now, we are receiving this word about lifetime change. It's not a lifestyle change. It's a word we are all receiving. But you, as an individual, in your soul, you are receiving a seed. That word, if you nurture it, it's going to bring a lifetime change in you. That is a spiritual birth. All right? So, you know, so those are the basic principles. If you understand it, you can now apply it. The other one she has answered.
Yes, can make it. Sorry, concerning this scripture, I want to add, if we read the Revelations from verse 1, that's Revelations 1:1, he said that the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the things that are written in Revelation are things of a future implication, future reference, and is also signified. That is, it may not be, I don't know the English word to use. It may not be as it appears, because yes, it may not be literary. It is symbolic. So that is also what I wanted to bring out. It is a future. So it cannot be Mary, because Mary was in the past. He's talking about something in the future, and that is signified.
Praise the Lord. I think we've exhausted.
Praise the Lord. The question, the last question says, did the devil go back to heaven after he was cast down? Praise the name of the Lord. I would like to say something about that first one. He said, I thought there isn't birth in heaven. Now, that question gives me the feeling that this person still thinks of heaven as one planet somewhere in the sky. Do you understand? And that image must be cast down. It's a part of the dragon. Do you understand the point? It's a dragon mentality. And as long as you have that image, you would not understand. So he read something now. And he said that he sent and signified it. That word is a Greek word, semaino. It means to express something in symbolic language, in signs. Praise the name of the Lord. So the book of Revelation is in prophetic what? Language. Praise the name of the Lord. Now heaven is a spiritual realm. And I would say it is also, you know, hell is a spiritual realm too. I'm sure you understand that. Are we together? But even the spiritual realm, there is a realm called the realm of the spirit. John said, I was in the what? Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. In the Lord's day. Now, the soul of man is in you. Bring him what? In here. And if you bring him in here, he has a legal right to be what now? Here. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why the serpent in Revelation became wings. Took wings and became a dragon. How did he get the wings? Praise the name of the Lord. You and I give him what? Wings. Praise the name of the Lord. He uses us to access places where he cannot what? Access. So he needs to be cast down where? In our soul. So that he cannot have access anymore into what? The heavenly places. You notice that when the man child was caught up, the man child moved into the realm of the second heavens. Do you understand that? Where the dragon was asserting himself and ruling. When he got in there, there was a problem. The people said, we cannot share this place. So somebody has to do what? Go. And there was what? War. This weekend, there has been war. Do you know that? Do you believe that? There has been war in this place. And brethren, I believe that the dragon has been cast down. Praise the name of the Lord. Great deliverances have been wrought in what now? Our soul. When the dragon is cast down, he is limited to the realm of what now? The earth. Only those who dwell on the earth can be afflicted by the dragon. But those in the heavens rejoice because he no longer has what? Access to you. Praise the name of the Lord. So one of the important principles we learn here is that as we move into the heavens, we can escape the dragon. Do you understand that? Whatever situation in your life that you address this weekend, that dragon can be what? Cast down. Praise the name of the Lord. And you can be what? Free. If you open the door, the dragon will have access to your heavens. Do you understand that? You are the one that gives him what? Access. This is a very important thing. You shut him out, he stays what? Outside. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I want to add to this subject of being trembling at the word of God. You know, when the word of the Lord comes to a people, it is expected that they show their concern by committing themselves to it in a way of response. Example is what happened in the book of Ezra. The word of the Lord came to the people of God who enter into intermarriage that were already warned that they should not. So when this thing happened, there was a call of God upon their lives to do what? To put away those wives that they married. Even and their children, they have married, they have been in this relationship as husband and wife, even with children, grown up. But when the word of the Lord came, the demand of God upon them was, do away with your wife and your children. The people had to respond to it. They did that. In another occasion, in the issue of Achan, there was instruction, do not bring what? A strange thing back while you are returning. But Achan did it. When the word of the Lord went forth, they began a search among themselves. What did they can do? He did not respond. He hid it until they said actually found him up and he was killed for that. So this is the lesson that we are here for. As the word of the Lord is coming to us, no matter the demand of the response God demands, set yourself. Know what is the issue that God is pointing out. Then give a proper response. In fact, a corresponding response. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We'll close. We'll come back again in the evening. It's time for questions. We already have one being projected on the board. It says, please, Bro Ebere, explain this. Photography works. Photography works with negatives. Currencies work with counterfeits. Gender works with opposites. So if you say that little children are initiated into darkness and spiritism, what is the practical equivalent of how to initiate God's own into spiritual realities and operations? A question from last night's session.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The world that we see with the eyes, praise the Lord, is basically a shadow. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? This visible world is a shadow of the real world. Amen. We see that in Romans chapter 1, where the Bible tells us that the invisible things of God is 1:20, is it 21 or 22? Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says that the invisible things of Him can be seen and understood from the things that are visible. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we there? Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that sets before us a spiritual principle. Amen. It is on the basis of this that we can teach types and what now? Shadows. The Bible also tells us that the tabernacle is a pattern, praise the name of the Lord, of the true tabernacle. Are we understanding that? When we teach the tabernacle, we're not just imagining something. We are actually working using a drawing. You know, like somebody who wants to build a house, they give you a plan of the house. Do you understand? Now, the plan contains the outline and the sketch of the real building. Praise the name of the Lord. These days, you have 3D images that gives you even a clearer picture of what the house looks like now. Before, it was just a drawing, you know, like that. Now, when you had those drawings, only an engineer probably could look at it and see the house. Do you understand? If you, a normal person, looks at it, you just see drawings, you know, lines. Say, what is this? Somebody says, that's the house. Praise the name of the Lord. So also, this gives us an outline. So, the scripture tells us in Peter, 2 Peter, I think chapter 3, that the things that appear, we are made out of things that do not, what now, appear. Are we together? This is the principle of negatives. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? The things that are seen come out of things that are what? Unseen. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorry. And 2 Peter 3. So these are basic principles. So with looking at everything in creation bears the stamp, the signature of the Creator. Praise the name of the Lord. It is on the same principle that we can look at man, this body. and we can understand the mystic, spiritual, what now? Body of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is the principle of negatives. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, also, things that are created, they carry a blueprint. We call it DNA. Are you understanding that? Hello, are you with me? It's a mark, a genetic mark. It is the code through which life, I'm not a medical doctor, praise the name of the Lord, but they call the blueprint the code of life. So every created thing has a design inside. The design of my life is in my DNA. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, looking at somebody's DNA, you can tell if the person is likely to develop cancer or diabetes. Do you understand that? In the DNA. And scientists are working towards being able to stop the sickness before it actually what occurs. Now, these are natural things. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when we talk about sons of God, we are also talking about beings, new creations. Do you understand the point? Carrying God's DNA. Praise the name of the Lord. God's nature written in our person. Somewhere it says that we are God's epistles. Written where? In where? Our hearts. Do you understand that? Isn't that what the Bible says? That I will write my nature, my law, where? In their hearts. Now, when you put that law there, what is the plan? The plan is that you begin to reproduce it, isn't it? In the words you speak. As you speak words, as you live life, you are creating something. You are recreating and creating and recreating. That's what God meant when he said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Praise the name of the Lord. So when you touch something with that creative power, that thing bears the mark and begins to express, you understand, that thing that you imparted what now to it. Are you understanding me? When we gather here, we're not coming here to talk Bible. Are we together? This Bible is letter. English language. Do you understand the point? But it becomes a negative from which we can translate it into what now? Walking, talking, relating. Are you with me? It translates into something I do, something I am. The way I relate to my brother, the way I relate to my wife, the way I relate to my children, the way I relate to my neighbors. This Bible becomes a living thing. That way, I can infect this generation. Do you understand the point? With this nature. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me explain something. You know, many years ago, there was a controversy. I don't know if you watched it. Somebody came to a particular church, a lady. He said, I'm a witch for Jesus. Did you hear that before? And the man of God just... How many people watched that video? You mean you didn't see it? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, probably the woman had mental problems. But now, let me talk. And I'm going to talk about witchcraft now. From the other side of the picture. Now, are you aware that the devil, everything he does, he borrows it from the scriptures? Do you understand that? You people are not sounding like you're following me. Now, the devil cannot create anything. Do you understand the point? Every principle on which he works, for anything to work spiritually, it must function on a spiritual principle. Are you understanding that? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I need to know that you're with me. It's very important. So, the devil borrows every principle. For it to work, you must borrow it from God. When he borrows it, he now does what now? He twists it. He distorts it. He perverts it to work in what now? A negative way. But it is the same word, principle. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Now, let me give you one illustration. Social media. Internet. You understand? Phone. Television. Now, all that these things do is to cast images into your soul. They know the law that says whatever is planted into the soul, that is what the soul is going to what now? Reproduce. Do you understand that? Now, what I'm saying that if you understand that, you will also be careful. This social media, do you understand? It's one of the deadliest things the enemy has produced. Because of that, young people, this generation, you are a high-risk generation. At one click, you can get onto a pornographic website in 2 seconds. Am I right? In exactly 2 seconds, you are seeing images that may haunt you for 10 years. Or more. I know that. You are getting into something. You know, that thing has so much power that when it gets into your mind, it becomes a virus. It begins to multiply itself on one principle, Bible principle, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Are you following what I'm saying? Once it gets into your mind, it becomes an infection. And it moves from that, your mind, to a place called your will. Are you understanding me? It takes over the will. You say, okay, I will not do it again. Then suddenly an energy comes into your mind. I say, do it. Do it. Do it. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But your hand is going there, going there, going there, going there. Bam! And you say, I couldn't help it. Now, something spiritual is happening right inside your mind. There is an energy that is already entered. Once it enters, it begins to spread. Praise the name of the Lord. Of course, from that image, you enter it, the next thing is masturbation. Now, that is a defilement both of body and of what now? Of mind. From there, what next? Guilt, isn't it? Shame. You descend into darkness. But it's working on a law, which is the same law that operates when you hear the word of God. You are also bringing an image into your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I hope you are with me. Okay. Now, in Africa, we understand witchcraft. You understand? Now, I had somebody, you know, a situation where a spirit will enter into a house like breeze. Now, I don't know whether it's a spirit now or a man, but he enters a house, he becomes a man and sleeps with somebody and then goes out again like that. For real. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So, when we talk about initiating, you know, some people think it's imaginary. It's not imaginary. Now, house helps. I've had several situations where house has come just by carrying a baby and feeding the baby. You know, some people think this thing is a joke. Food. Praise the name of the Lord. is not just natural. It can be spiritual. And that's why you must pray over your food before you eat it. Are you understanding my point? It's not ceremony. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? It is not what ceremony. When you say, let us bless the food, some people think, it's just, that's the way Christians do when they want to eat. No, sir. We are doing something very, very what now? Spiritual. Because food can be a point of what now? Of contact. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So some people are in just by food. You eat. And then next thing, the first point of call is your dreams. You know, because dreams are actually images through which sometimes you see things happening within your soul. Are you getting my point? You begin to see things you wouldn't know in your conscious realm. But when you sleep, you understand? You see those images come up. And you see certain things that give certain indications of certain spiritual activities that are taking place right inside your soul. And it's not imaginary. It is very real. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the same way somebody can initiate you. Now, there was this one. I'm also talking about real things, because I know personally. They go to church. They go right inside churches, real Pentecostal churches, and touch people. When I say touch, I'm not joking. You understand? Oh, this, your bangle is very fine. You know, sometimes you are in the market and you're going and people are touching you. Come and buy. Come and buy. Has it happened to you before? Now, let me tell you, consecration is not an option. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you now? Consecration is not what now? An option. You don't have a choice. You live in a spiritually, you know, operative world. Hey, please come and buy. Come and buy. Not every touch is innocent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, some people have even bought things they didn't want to buy because somebody touched them. People have found this one. She said, when we do that, that same night, when they are having their meetings, these people will appear. And she was laughing. She said, they will be saying, hey, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Because they are confused. They find themselves in an environment. They don't know how they got there. Very real. So when the Bible says that we are to cleanse ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and of the mind, you are actually trying to shut yourself so that these things cannot have what now? Access to you. Hello? I'm telling you very real things. Praise the name of the Lord. So these things, in some parents, you know, there are certain parents who are Satanists. So when their children are born, they consciously, deliberately, do you understand the point? Hand them over to a spirit. Now, parents have influence. They have authority. Just like teachers also have influence. They have what now? Authority. Anybody that can minister to you and you open up your mind, your soul, has the ability to inject what now? Spirits. One of the fastest ways that homosexuality is spreading is in the school system. Do you understand? When you have teachers who are homosexuals teaching students, they transfer what now? Spirits. So you grew up feeling different. How did it come? One teacher. Do you understand the point? Transferring what now? Spirits. And they do it consciously. They understand these principles. Are you hearing what I'm saying, brethren? You can't leave this camp and remain the same old. You cannot be conscious of this reality and still live a very careless life. That would be suicidal. Do you understand the point? The world you live in is spiritual. You too must be what? Spiritual. Are you understanding me? Good. So, this whole world is about initiation. Every day, your soul, when you say initiate, what is it? It's to bring the soul under the covering and the influence and the dominion of a what now? A spirit. We have learned here that the soul is meant to be ruled by what? A spirit. The only thing is that you will choose this day which spirit you will do what? You will serve. You will have that choice. It's just you have an option. Choose one or choose two. But whether you like it or not, you must serve what? A spirit. When you choose the spirit of God, he begins to build what? A city, a fence, what? Around you. Because he's a jealous God. Do you understand the point? He sets boundaries round about you. A strong city. When you choose God, he begins to put gates. Do you understand the point? Secures you so that these other vagabond spirits can't come in. That's what he does. When you choose the other spirit, he makes you a city broken down. Every spirit that comes will just walk in and do what now? And devour. Take something out of you. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very, very important. You must understand it. Not only will you understand it, you must apply it in your what now? Your life. He said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, secures himself, so that the evil one does what now? Toucheth him not. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we understanding this? So everything is spiritual. When you open your phone, you understand the point. What you see, the eye is the most powerful sense of all the five senses. Are you understanding that? The eye is the most powerful. So messages that pass to the eye. There are times when we are casting out devil out of somebody. The spirit comes out through tears. Hello? Tears. That's how it is coming out. The person is just, tears are flowing out, flowing out, flowing out. It comes out through all the organs, the openings in the body, the ears. Spirits go out through the ear. They go out through the mouth. The people can vomit. I've seen people vomit things. Razor blade. Safety pin. You understand the point? All kinds of things. I've seen people, there are situations where people, they passed out through the stool. They passed out a rat. Live rats. I'm not trying to frighten you. Do you understand? I'm just trying to show you the reality of where we are. Because a lot of us are just taking life, eh? We're just so simple. We're just sometimes unconscious. When we say, ah, you better put a check on your phone. Do you understand the point? Put a check on your phone. Now, in the US, in Nigeria, Satanism has taken a lot of hold. People, there are websites dedicated to Satan. And even they are recruiting people. Recruiting people. Recruiting. When they get you excited and interested, they now tell you steps how you can begin to cast spells, you know, and people some think it's a joke. They start joking. They don't realize that the devil himself does not joke. And somewhere along the line, they contact a spirit. And it's these spirits, they just attract you. Then eventually they take over your will. When they get hook of your will, they can wake up a woman and tell you to commit suicide. Do you understand that? And you take a knife and slit your throat like this. Because you gave that will to them. Meaning, when you say suicide, 98% of those who committed suicide got in touch. Some through rock music, some through horror movies that they watched, some through sex sites, some through, you know, all kinds of things. They surrendered their will to what now? A spirit. From that point, when it takes over your will, it compels you. You know that what you're doing is wrong, but you are what? Under compulsion. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are you with me? So initiating simply means to bring the soul under the rule by a covenant. Do you understand? By an agreement, the soul is brought under dominion of a particular what now? Spirit. This spirit begins to have access to you. You know, in marriage, two people have access to each other, isn't it? Are you getting my point? Yes. When I'm entering my wife's room, if she has a room, her room is my room. I don't knock. Do you understand the point? Are we together? If I'm entering my daughter's room, I knock. But if I'm entering my wife's room, do you understand the point? I don't knock. These spirits, once they come under that initiation, they have access to you. into your mind, your emotions, your will, your desire, they run your what now? Your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? Yeah, this is very, very important. When we live our lives, these are the things we must understand. Now, brethren, when we are here, whether you like it or not, this weekend you have been initiated. So it's not a strange thing. Every time you came out here, say, Lord Jesus, I hope you understood what you are doing. Praise the name of the Lord. You are being what now? Initiated. He said, by one spirit are we what now? Baptized. Baptism is an initiation. Do you understand that? Every day you are bringing your mind, your emotions, your will under the rule. It gives that spirit liberty to move in the area of your life. Do you understand the point? The Holy Spirit now has the right and the liberty to do what? Move in your life and carry out his own what now? Agenda. Praise the name of the Lord. So, brethren, that's basically what it is. You can, a child, let me give an illustration. Timothy had a both physical, spiritual heritage. Did you notice that? Timothy's mother was Lois. His grandmother was Eunice. Or was it the other way around? Do you understand the point? They were both Christians. And because of that, Timothy inherited certain spiritual things. Do you understand me? There's certain qualities. There was a man, his name was Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee's father and grandfather were Christians and ministers of the gospel. You see, what it means is that there are certain darkness that my grandfather cleared. I'm not going to suffer from that. By the time it comes to my father, the man also does what now? Clears more. So by the time I come into the picture, I have little to deal with. And it means that I can pick up this thing at a very early age. Some of us have to come out from the bush. That is, you have bush. You start clearing before you even come out to see the road. Some others, the bush has been what? Cleared for them. It's a spiritual heritage. Praise the name of the Lord. Part of what we are doing today is so that our children will... going to deal with them. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Now, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in a practical way, if you have a problem, Snapchat, to go, praise the name of the Lord. Now, do you know what the Bible says? If your right eye... Have you read that scripture before? Is it in your own Bible? You know what scripture I'm quoting? If your right eye will cause you to do what? Sin. What the Bible says? Pluck it. Why? Because it is better for me to enter the kingdom with one eye than to go to that other place with two eyes. Isn't it? The Lord Jesus did not mince words about that. Now, we are in a time when new platforms, and a lot of it are platforms for iniquity. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Now, if you know what your problem is, you know, there's a scripture that says, remember from whence you have what? Fallen. And do what? Repent. And do your former works. If you have a problem with your mind, with images, sometimes it is practicable that you stop putting data into your phone for a while. Are you getting my point? In the natural, if a person is addicted to... Yes, I'm coming to that, yes. Now, in the natural, when a person is addicted to drugs or to alcohol, he goes into what you call what? Rehab. How many people have heard of the word rehab here? Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, they put you in an environment where you do not have what? Access to that thing. Now, they know that the natural body, when it stays for a while without that thing, the body will rebel. Do you understand the point? The body will revolt. You call that what now? Withdrawal syndromes. Why? Because the body has been for a long time dependent on that thing. But it can go through some stress. But after a while, it weans itself off that thing. Are we together? Now, the problem now goes to the mind. You follow the point. The body is no longer dependent on it. But the mind is what? Still dependent. You have to now address. That's why a lot of times they have relapses. Because they've not addressed the issue of what now? The mind. The mind still believes that it is still dependent on that thing. Praise the name of the Lord. And many have been destroyed by it. How many of you know Whitney Houston? What happened to her? And do you know about the daughter? What happened to her? Do you think that was ordinary? No, it was not. Praise the name of the Lord. And lives have been destroyed by that. So you decide. There are certain platforms you must delete from your program. Even you, if you don't have a problem, once in a while, fast. When you fast, part of what you do is to disconnect your, you know, certain social media from your system. Get it off. It is a bondage. So once in a while, you take it out. And for you, if you have a major issue with it, get it off and spend some time without it. You will not die. Praise the name. Are we together, brethren? Yes. The availability of this thing, the nearness of it, is already one step into it. It's a part of fasting. You deny your soul. Do you understand that thing? You chasten your soul and break the power. Paul said, I will not be brought under the word now. Power. There is a power behind it. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a power behind it, brethren. And if there's something God would do with us this weekend, it is to, you must do an inventory of your life. You must do an inventory, brother. You must do an inventory, sister. Praise the name of the Lord and begin to prepare for greatness. Every man who aspires for greatness, there are sacrifices that he must make. Praise the name of the Lord. If you know that this is my problem, then from today, take it off. Hallelujah. So that you can have some time. Spend time with the word of God and begin to put the right images inside your mind. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we have said here is that children can be initiated negatively. They can also be initiated what? Positive. When we pray for children when they are born, the children, parents bring them for dedication. You think that's ceremony? We don't do ceremonies. Any meaningless ritual has no place here. Everything we do is an impartation of what? Of spirits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, this is not church in the sense of church. We are spiritual people. We live in a spiritual world. We understand the operations of the spirits of darkness, but we also understand the operations of the kingdom of what now? Of light. It says that God has delivered us this weekend from the dominion of what? Darkness. And translated it into the kingdom of his son, in whom you have redemption through what now? His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So you must understand what has happened this weekend. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, I hope I'm clear. Amen. So we are initiating. They are also what? Initiating. So it now depends on which juju is what? Is stronger. Hallelujah. Do you know which juju is stronger? He said, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Praise the name of the Lord. I think that's enough. Amen.
Praise God. There's a question here. Say, please, I wish to know the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Pick it up.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The question is, what is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Okay? Now, the difference is a bad translation. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Most of the ancient and the older translations use the word Holy Ghost. Do you understand? And it was maybe the term that was used in the olden times to express the word spirit. But the ghost actually is the soul, you understand, of a departed person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hello, are you there? Okay. So it doesn't properly express the spirit of God. Okay? Now, a spirit is a being that is not material. Okay? A ghost is a spirit. But not every spirit is a ghost. Praise the name of the Lord. So you notice that much more modern translations use the word Holy, what now? Spirit. Uh-huh. But then, it shouldn't be very dogmatic. Praise the name of the Lord. If somebody makes that expression, he may not know better. It's not something you begin to quarrel or fight over. But for proper, you know, language, the term is Holy what? Spirit. God is not a ghost. God is what? A spirit. Do you understand that? The spirit of God is not a ghost. It is a spirit. Praise the name of the Lord.
The other way is that looking at that's taking the, you know, because looking at the word itself, ghost from the Greek means to expire. That means to breathe out. That is what the original thought means. Means to breathe out. And so when someone has given up the ghost, what does it mean? His soul has departed. Do you understand? In other words, it's been expired. So when they use it, it means that when God breathed, it means that it's used of, in the sense of breath, of breathing. You understand? So like he said, it's not a very good way to describe the Spirit of God. Because what they're trying to play on is the fact of the breath of the you know, of God or something like that. But so the right word to use is spirit. You understand? The right word to use is spirit. But like he said, some of the older translations have used that. You know, yes.
I think the word ghost is trying to describe, like you said, a spirit that has left the body. So a better way, a good way to understand it is that a ghost is a spirit that usually needs a body. So when, needs a body to express itself. When he says when he says the unclean spirit is looking for a house, he's talking about a ghost. And that's why when Satan entered into Judas, it was a problem. Because a spirit doesn't have a body. It was not created to function with a body. But a ghost was created to function with the body. That's my answer.
So what we'll try to do, we'll try to allow you answer the questions. I think that's what people wanted. Say yes now. That's what people wanted. It's not the talk show. You want to answer the question. And so he has answered. Any other contribution? The man has traveled though. You have something to say? Good.
Just to, as Robert was saying, he's the one that first mentioned the whole difference that I was hearing. He tried not to use the word Holy Ghost to say Holy Spirit. And I think it's a good practice. And we have to all put it into practice in our whole life. Because most of the time when we want to pray, we are used to using this word Holy Ghost sometimes. We have to work on it too. Because to put an image to it, you see, we used to watch, anyway, Nigerian films. And Nigerian films, you can see if someone died, you have his ghost wander around and he will come and show himself to somebody and this thing. So I think that picture makes it really bad to say Holy Ghost and this thing. And I Thank God that in French, at least, we don't have that translation, because ghost is fantôme, which is really bad. So we should try and correct it now. Fantôme. So fantôme, we don't have. In the Bible, in French Bible, we have always Saint-Esprit. So it look it makes it very easy to say Esprit and Spirit every time. So we should just put it into our own everyday prayer and our way to talk. Because this word of lifestyle is also the way we talk. So what you say, you need to say the right thing. Not say Holy Ghost, but say the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Okay, let's take the one here. Say, are divine encounters due to the sovereignty of God on the individual's personal hunger? Yeah. Yes, you want to answer? You have something to say? Yes, no problem. Give her the mic.
Praise the Lord. I know that's a combination of both, because God is God despite who we are as individuals, so that is always there. But for us to key into the sovereignty of God and to have that overcoming in our lives in any area that we want it to be in, we have to make a commitment, we have to make a response. Let me bring it to something as simple as an altar call. God is in that meeting. God is in the meeting, and then he has brought a word, but then there's an altar call to respond. Some people might say, well, God is here. I'm sitting on my seat. I'm still keen into the prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that God wouldn't meet you on your seat, but there's also a level of your overcoming that you would achieve if you respond to the call. So I think it's a combination of both. God is God, but we also have to show that we are hungry for him so that he can really, really come into us in the fullness of that coming. Praise the Lord.
Scripture says, draw near to God. What will he do? So that's what she has said. So you are here. There's an altar call. When you go out, it is a step in response. And then God himself too will respond to you. Amen. Let me share an experience yesterday. When Brother Bere finished ministering, I was at the back. I was busy. I had to make some phone calls and all that. When he finished, he went to the back and left the hall. Something said, ah, Brother Bere has gone, Brother Bot has gone. Let me also go to the room and go. But I said, I am here on my own, so I'm not going. So I stayed back, and then Boma started praying, he said, everybody stand up. I stood up, pray. I began to pray. I am telling you, God responded to me yesterday. You understand? If I had followed him, I say he has gone to let me go. I could have gone. But I'm sure that that lorry load of blessing that came to meet me, you would have landed on the empty floor there. I would have seen me. Amen. So it looks simple, but it taught me a great principle. You know? So when you are here, at the response, don't follow your prince sitting down. You don't know why he's sitting down. You have your problem. Sometimes we are doing a big boy after all. I know there's no big boy. When it's time for altar call, you or bigger, you step out and respond to God. And God will answer you and meet you at the point of your need. That's part of the thing. The other point is the hunger, individual's personal hunger. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and what? Thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember the word of in Esther chapter 1, the king's feast, is it not? He said the law is that none did compare. They give you what you want. If you have a lorry load of hunger, it will be filled. You have just a little cup, you'll get. So whatever you want, God meets you at your level. You know? So and it also help you with your friends. There are friends who want to just be Christian. That's all they want. They don't want anything extra. If they become those that influence you, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. So you have to choose your friend. Get a man who wants the whole Port Harcourt as his vessel. Say, God, he's always crying, God, feel me, feel me. So even when you're tired, you look at him, you get up and start running. But if you go and bring those around you, they just want, you know, just say, good, good, good. Their vessel is so shallow. And you're following them. So you end up. So you must choose your friends, your husbands, your wives, your companions, all those things. Even those who minister to you. It all comes at the same level of this personal hunger. And you can also increase the hunger in your life. Amen. As you come to the word, you eat the word of God, it becomes sweeter. Initially, it may not be sweet, but as you are coming to it, gradually, you begin to expand your capacity. You know, you begin to like the word of God. You begin to get used to it, and you are drawn to it. But if you are far away from it, you don't know how impactful it is in your life. Amen. So draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's the principle that we can use in terms of this.
Okay. What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? And how can we do that?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a scripture that says, and that talks about, I think it's Isaiah, that God wants people that tremble at His word. Those that fear, those that tremble at His word. Now what that means is, when God says something, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God has said it. Not like you're afraid of God, like God will kill you or destroy you or something. But because God has said it, you take it serious. First of all, that is the fear and that is the trembling. Because God has said, now we're talking about phones, social media, Instagram, Twitter, and all of that. Sorry. Now, because God is telling us that we should reduce the amount of time we spend on our phones, we should fear and tremble. That is the fear and trembling we're talking about. Now, you now make a step. You respond. You make efforts. Do you understand? We'll make efforts. Maybe if you used to spend 5 hours or immediately you wake up, you start pressing your phone. Because of the fear and trembling, you say, God said this thing. You will now be a little more, you will be more sober. You will be afraid. Instead of pressing your phone, you will now look for your Bible instead. When you are in church and you feel like pressing your phone, the fear and trembling, you will say, let me reduce this thing. You will now take notes instead. So I think these are the practical steps that we can take in response to being like afraid, in quotes, like reverence and respect, because God has said this. You take steps. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. I also want to say, like, because, like, by virtue of who we are as human beings, there is already a lot of darkness inside of us, right? And, like, what our end goal is the salvation of our souls. So we're trying to fill our souls with light. Now, I feel like to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling means you are making a conscious effort to get as much light as possible into your heart. It's not just like on my leisure time or like when I'm free or whatever I can do. It's not just a secondary thing in my mind, but it's like the prominent thing. You're making deliberate effort. When I wake up, it's like what I can't remember. We were talking about it yesterday, and someone said when the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, it means that we go out of our way to do the things that are evil because we
get pleasure from it. But now on the other side, it's like you're going to go out of your way, not just to say, oh, let me read my Bible, but you're going to assault your mind, first of all, with the word of God. You're going to go out of your way to make sure that you work out your salvation. You're going to go out of your way to do whatever is possible. Now, all these things we're talking about, Snapchat, we're talking about Instagram. And God came to me and God rebuked me and told me that this thing, it does not, like, if I'm being honest with myself, when I open my Snapchat, I'm not going there and there's nobody there that is going to bring me to a place of fullness of God in my life. And for that reason, because of the fear, and I know what my humanity is capable of doing to me, the fullness of darkness that is possible of being manifested in my life, then I'm going to make the conscious effort to first of all get rid of that thing and then replace it with something that is going to bring me to that fullness of salvation of Christ. So it's not just like, okay, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but you have to make a desperate, deliberate effort to actually see what are the things I can do that are going to bring me to that place. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This word, we need to know where the word is coming from. It's coming from Philippians 2. There is a reason why this word was given. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and tremble. You know, not that because of we are in camp meeting, you are trying to do the things of God. But God is telling us that when your father is not there, when your brother is not there, when no fellowship brother is not there, what are you doing? Praise God. It's what you're doing at that moment will show whether you have the fear of God or not. So God is trying to tell us, when nobody is there, you also show the word God. You also read the Bible. You also have fellowship. Not that when we are here, you want to come and sing song. You want to come and clap. But God is telling you in the secret, also do it. Praise God.
Praise God. This is just... You know, somebody sent something in respect of the first question. He said another way of initiating a child is, for example, if the child does something bad, don't pet him. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So if children behave in a certain manner and there's no one to tell them sorry, they will learn from what they did. Amen. This is somebody's contribution. Okay, so let's read the one on the board. Say, please explain. I don't understand the book of Revelation 12 verse 2 of the woman being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Afterward, brought forth a man-child. Do we read? I think we should read that scripture so that it will be clear or clearer. Revelation chapter 12. Is it the full? Revelation chapter 12 verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Okay, the first question. Though there isn't birth in heaven, is heaven not a place of peace and joy, and not place of pain? So let's start with number one. You want to answer? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the first question just answered the whole question, because from what we've heard, the whole thing that Brother TJK was saying all the time is that when they talk of heaven, they talk of our soul. So if we get that, we can just know that this heaven they are mentioning here is not the heaven like somewhere else on the planet or anywhere. It's in our heart. Because when we read further, they mention the dragon, which is in heaven. And we already, they all thought of, everything was said about this chapter. And it was said that the dragon is no longer in the heaven where God dwells, like God's dwelling place. But he's now trying to get into our own heaven, which is supposed to be also God's dwelling place. So the heaven that is mentioned here is not heaven like, I don't know how to say it now. It's our heart. It's our soul.
Says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. The main aim of us being Christians is that Christ may be bettered in us, and then we will come forth in the image and the likeness of God. So when you begin the race, the end point is that Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. So, this travailing, it's you, it's me. So, we are the ones travailing that Christ may come forth in us. So, the son that is being birthed is Christ being formed in your soul. The nature of God, the nature of Christ coming forth within your soul. That is the son. That is the man child that is coming forth. And when every one of us, we all have Jesus Christ, the nature of Christ in us, and we come together. We come together to form that man child company. And he said, who is the male child that was delivered? We have said that is Christ. Does the child stay in heaven or here on earth? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So heaven is coming into my soul, into your soul. Is it Mary that brought forth the child? Not Mary, it's you and I. Did the devil go back again to heaven after he was killed? That what? The mic, okay. The devil is in your soul and in my soul. And there is a need for the devil in your soul and in my soul to be cast out. The devil is being cast out of heaven. Like the brother was saying, that when you read down that scripture, he said that the dragon, the serpent, was cast out of heaven. So it is your responsibility and my responsibility to make sure that the devils in our souls are cast out. Praise God.
Well, the right way to look at it is everything you see in the natural is in the spirit. So the Bible says it is first natural, then spirit. So you have, in the natural, you have seed. It's from that seed that you see all the trees. Everybody in this room was once a seed, is it not? From the seed, you grew. Also in the spirit, there is also seed. And from that seed, you come forth spiritual reality. Okay. Genesis says everything was created by the word of God. That word of God is a seed. So when you talk about birth, natural, spiritual, it begins with a seed. Somebody was sleeping at night. He had a seed. You know what the seed is? An idea. Somebody, I can communicate with my friend apart from email. And he developed WhatsApp. It was an idea. It was a seed. Now it's a reality. Electricity. There was a time when there was no electricity. Somebody received an idea. It became a reality. You know Isaac Newton, they say he was sitting down and what fell on his head? What fell on the head of Isaac Newton? Apple fell on the when he was sitting under the apple tree. He said, why should this apple leave the tree and fell? What came out of it? The law of gravity. Do you understand? So that is the principle. Seed, an idea. It can be a word, naturally. It's also something in the spirit that brings forth in the seed. So you have a woman naturally, a physical woman, but in the spirit, a woman speaks of a church. In the spirit, also a woman speaks of the soul. So the church, as a church now, we are receiving this word about lifetime change. It's not a lifestyle change. It's a word we are all receiving. But you, as an individual, in your soul, you are receiving a seed. That word, if you nurture it, is going to bring a lifetime change in you. That is the spiritual birth. Alright? So, you know, so those are the basic principles. If you understand it, you can now apply it. The other one she has answered.
Sorry, concerning this scripture, I want to add, if we read the Revelations from verse 1, that's Revelations 1:1, he said that the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the things that are written in Revelation are things of a future implication, future reference, and is also signified. That is, it may not be I don't know the English word to use. It may not be as it appears, because yes, it may not be literary. It is symbolic. So that is also what I wanted to bring out. It is a future. So it cannot be Mary, because Mary was in the past. It's talking about something in the future, and that it is signified.
Praise the Lord. I think we've exhausted.
Praise the Lord. The last question says, did the devil go back to heaven after he was cast down? Praise the name of the Lord. I would like to say something about that first one. He said, I thought there isn't birth in heaven. Now, that question gives me the feeling that this person still thinks of heaven as one planet somewhere in the sky. Do you understand? And that image must be cast down. It's a part of the dragon. Do you understand the point? It's a dragon mentality. And as long as you have that image, you would not understand. So he read something now, and he said that he sent and signified it. That word is a Greek word, semino. It means to express something in symbolic language, in signs. Praise the name of the Lord. So the book of Revelation is in prophetic what? Language. Praise the name of the Lord. Now heaven is a spiritual realm. And I would say it is also, you know, hell is a spiritual realm too. I'm sure you understand that. Are we together? But even the spiritual realm, there is a realm called the realm of the spirit. John said,
I was in the what? Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord in the Lord's day. Now, the soul of man is in you. Bring him what? In here. And if you bring him in here, he has a legal right to be what now? Here. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why the serpent in Revelation became wings. Took wings and became a dragon. How did he get the wings? Praise the name of the Lord. You and I give him what? Wings. Praise the name of the Lord. He uses us to access places where he cannot what? Access. So he needs to be cast down where? In our soul. So that he cannot have access anymore into what? The heavenly places. You notice that when the man child was caught up, the man child moved into the realm of the second heavens. Do you understand that? Where the dragon was asserting himself and ruling. When he got in there, there was a problem. The people said, we cannot share this place. So somebody has to do what? Go. And there was what? War. This weekend, there has been war. Do you know that? Do you believe that? There has been war in this place. And brethren, I believe that the dragon has been cast down. Praise the name of the Lord. Great deliverances have been wrought in what now? Our soul. When the dragon is cast down, he is limited to the realm of what now? The earth. Only those who dwell on the earth can be afflicted by the dragon. But those in the heavens rejoice because he no longer has what? Access to you. Praise the name of the Lord. So one of the important principles we learn here is that as we move into the heavens, we can escape the dragon. Do you understand that? Whatever situation in your life that you address this weekend, that dragon can be what? Cast down. Praise the name of the Lord. And you can be what? Free. If you open the door, the dragon will have access to your heavens. Do you understand that? You are the one that gives him what? Access. This is a very important thing. You shut him out, he stays what? Outside. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I want to add to this subject of being trembling at the word of God. You know, when the word of the Lord comes to a people, it is expected that they show their concern by committing themselves to it in a way of response. Example is what happened in the book of Ezra. The word of the Lord came to the people of God who entered into intermarriage that were already warned that they should not. So when this thing happened, there was a call of God upon their lives to do what? To put away those wives that they married. Even and their children, they have married, they have been in this relationship as husband and wife, even with children, grown up. But when the word of the Lord came, the demand of God upon them was, do away with your wife and your children. The people had to respond to it. They did that. In another occasion, in the issue of Achan, there was instruction, do not bring what? A strange thing back while you are returning. But Achan did it. When the word of the Lord went forth, they began a search among themselves. What did Achan do? He did not respond. He hid it until the search actually found him up and he was killed for that. So this is the lesson that we are here for. As the word of the Lord is coming to us, no matter the demand of the response God demands, set yourself. Know what is the issue that God is pointing out. Then give a proper response. In fact, a corresponding response. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We'll close. We'll come back again in the evening. Amen. Amen. So we'll continue in the evening. Please get your questions ready. When we come back in the evening, we'll treat all of them. Amen. Don't go with your question. Whatever is bothering your heart, please write it down and send to us. It will be treated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the food that you have given to us. Lord, for you know the nutrients that our souls need. And Lord, you have taken time to supply those nutrients. Lord, for you are the bridegroom preparing the bride for marriage. And Lord, we see you giving us materials. My God, Lord, sending apparels, O Lord, that we might be well fitted for this marriage. Lord, giving us all the nutrients that we need so that when we appear on that day, we will look, my God, we will be well prepared. We will look beautiful. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are offering to us. Lord, our specific prayer this afternoon is that, Lord, may we not reject all that you are giving to us. May we not reject this nutrient that you are offering. May we not reject the apparel that you are giving to us for us to be well clothed in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. We ask, Lord, that all that you have done in our Lord in us may be permanent in the name of Jesus. Lord, cause us to walk. Cause us to walk in them. For Lord, you have released energy unto us. Blessed be your name, O God. Lord, we lift up the food before you. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you bless and sanctify it. Let this food nourish our bodies in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that there will be no food poison in this camp. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Help us to prepare ourselves and to come out on time for the next meeting. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
There's an announcement. We have the pattern audio. Amen. How many of us have read pattern? Okay. If you have not read it and you want to read it, and you raise your hand and say, Lord, I am committed to reading it. I don't have one. Come and give your name. Who will collect the name? Brother Eric. So those who want the pattern book, but you don't have one and you want to read it, and you are telling us you will read it, they will give your name to you. Stand up, brother, so that they can see you. That's Brother Eric. You want the book, the pattern. Give your name to him, and then your fellowship will arrange and give you the book. And then those who want to load it, the audio, want to load it on your phone. So you're on the bus, you are going home, you're going from one lecture to the other, you want to listen to pattern. I have the audio. I'll bring it in the evening. So also give your name to him. So you say, I want the book or audio. What's the question? What? Stand up now, sir. I'm not hearing you. What's the question? We should put the audio on group chat. Okay, we should put it on group chat and online. So, those who can do it, you and Ozuchi, meet Brother Eric, and they will arrange and get it on the group chat. But those who don't know group chat, do you know what is group chat? Those who don't know group chat, I want it on my phone chat. So you want it on your phone, I will bring it in the evening and then you can download it. So you have audio pattern. It's a good advice. We'll also arrange and get it on the group chat. But one group, are we going to put it on? Okay, you have MIS Youth Fellowship. We will put it on the group chat of MIS Fellowship. How about the youth group fellowship? Do you have a youth fellowship? Okay, I should get it to Eric. Anybody that wants it, MIS. Okay, get it on the website. Which website? Okay, we'll get it on the Living Bread website and all that. Okay, so we will do that. All right? Okay. I think we are close. Did you finish?